Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we pick up where we left off with C.J. Hadley, publisher and editor of Range Magazine, and Patrick Donnelly, the Nevada State Director for the Center for Biological Diversity, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program C.J. Hadley, the publisher and editor of Range Magazine, and Patrick Donnelly, the Nevada State Director for the Center for Biological Diversity, for part two of our interview with them. The other one went so well that we thought we'd have you guys back. So I want to start out with a story that was a big deal in the Las Vegas Review-Journal last week and to an awful lot of people, which is a memo alleges that government misconduct in Bunkerville in the Sandoff case. And it goes through a huge report that just slams the investigation and the BLM and the judge in the case as sequestered the jury at this point. They're not coming back until the 20th. We're taping this prior to the 20th. We're actually taping this on the 18th. And there's a good chance that this will be a mistrial, if not thrown out. So what are your thoughts on what has come out so far?
I think it's the most extraordinary case in Nevada history. I think it's probably the biggest one involving federal agents. The Judge Gloria Navarro, handpicked by Harry Reid and Obama, and the acting U.S. Attorney, Stephen Myrie, are ignoring everything, ignoring the Constitution, basically, and they particularly the 1st, 2nd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 10th Amendments. Now, if there's much left, there really isn't. We're talking first free speech, freedom to bear arms, unreasonable search and seizure, deprived of life, liberty, property without due process. Speedy trial. They've been in jail for pretty much 23 months. Cruel and unusual punishment. I don't think anybody has been strip searched more than Ammon Bundy. I would like to see the U.S. prosecutor strip searched that many times. And also states' rights, which is the 10th Amendment. And what's happening is there's so much in it. The prosecution has withheld so much evidence far back as before they even indicted him. They've destroyed evidence. There was a kill list that the BLM special agent Dan Love had. The top of the kill list, obviously, were the Bundys. It was armed or unarmed. There's a BLM whistleblower, and there was an 18-page report that came out last week, and I heard that through a Washington state representative named Matt Shea. It's the most incredible thing you ever heard. Now, that's finally come up before the judge last Wednesday. And that's when she sent the jurors home for 5 days. And that's when, as you say, said, I didn't read that story that you read. But it's possible that I hope it's not a mistrial because these guys do not deserve to go through that again. But
all right. So Patrick, let Patrick jump in here.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. I think I made my organization's stance pretty clear the last time we spoke about the actions of the Bundys and their compatriots during the standoff at Bunkerville and the illegality of those actions. I will not stand here and defend the Department of Justice and the way they've handled this case. There's a reason there's been half a dozen trials for all these various incidents that keep going poorly. DOJ does not appear to be handling this in the best way. So I can't defend what they did. I will say that there's an article out today in which the whistleblower's supervisor disputes the entire account. So I don't think that what the whistleblower is saying should be taken as gospel necessarily, because there are dissenting views.
Okay, when you say whistleblower, you're referring to Larry Wooten. He was actually an investigator for the BLM.
He's being portrayed as a whistleblower in the media right now.
But that's because his report was basically ignored.
I have something to add to that. The gentleman you're talking about who is refuting that is Kent Kleeman, who actually was subordinate to Larry Wooten as lead investigator on the Bundy case. But he was also his supervisor in another way. He had two jobs. He was under Larry Wooten for one and over Larry Wooten for one. And also Stephen Myrie, the U.S. attorney in Vegas, handpicked Larry Kleeman because he is one of the guys that was causing all the offenses at the BLM, and therefore he's covering his butt and Dan Love's butt. And they have all sorts of records. Wooten's computers were robbed pretty much by Kleeman at the BLM offices. And that's since last February. And the whistleblower has been trying very hard for 10 months to bring the BLM back on track to do the honorable thing, like a honest trial, evidence that they need. They're suppressing evidence. They're destroying things. It is outrageous, and there's going to be an awful lot of people to prove that Larry Kleeman is handpicked by Stephen Myrie, the U.S. attorney, and it is going to be real ugly in Vegas pretty soon, maybe Wednesday the 20th.
Patrick, are you surprised at the success of the pushback from this movement at this point in time?
The Bundys have been able, and their compatriots, have been able to dominate the narrative, and my organization has tried to push back on that in various ways, but we are a small organization, and our ability to counter that dominant narrative in the media has been pretty limited. And so the Bundys, and meanwhile, most groups that care about public lands have chosen to be silent on this topic because it is so controversial. And so, again, the Bundys have been able to dominate the narrative and put forward their version of events. And that has essentially been the narrative that people are accepting because there is very little counter out there.
I completely disagree. The Bundys are being squelched, screwed, demoralized, deflated. I just want to read something from John Lamb. Kelly Stewart, BJ Soper in court every day. They're covering the trial. Quote, during the first 3 weeks of the trial, Judge Navarro has barred information from being shown to the jury, answered questions directed at witnesses for the witness. In other words, the judge is answering for the witness. They're not even allowed to speak. And even removed a defendant from the stand during his own testimony. That's Eric Parker. She called the man a liar on the stand. She struck his testimony from the record, which means nobody can read it in the press. But his testimony was later proven to be fact in the same courtroom on record. These are only a few examples of clear collusion between the judge and the prosecutor, oversteps, violations, coercion tactics that have played out for nearly a year now in federal court in Vegas. Another reporter, Kelly Stewart, reported BLM lead investigator was fired by U.S. Attorney Myrie simply for voicing his concern about intentionally withheld exculpatory evidence. He's trying to speak out, but the court is sealed. Now, the thing about the sealed is when documents are sealed, the only one who's going to benefit are the federal government, certainly not the Bundys. And now the Las Vegas Review-Journal, I think it was Friday, you probably know this better than me, filed, to demand that they open those sealed records, because I don't think there's ever been a court in history where the jury is almost always out of the courtroom, because this judge will not allow the Bundy defenses to bring up self-defense, public statements by politicians or the governor who might say something for the Bundys. They can't talk about allegations of the office acting unethically when there were snipers proven now by photographs all the way around the Bundy Ranch before the cattle gather began. Also, they had hearing devices and video set up. Also, they were incredibly abusive by putting Dave Bundy in jail for 2 days when he was standing on a right-of-way on a highway, on a Nevada highway. They took his iPad. They haven't given it back yet. And they took that 2016. And there are stuff, there are photographs on that video that shows that the BLM abused him. They knocked him on the ground and ground his face into the grit. And he had grit in his face. And that's also something they haven't got back. They're not allowed to have, they're not allowed to argue First or Second Amendment rights. They can't refer to the Oregon trial where Ammon Bundy and five others were acquitted of all charges. They're not allowed to mention the first two trials, Bundy trials with, I can't remember the name of the guys, which also did not end up in anything. The jury did not agree they were guilty of much at all. And they also can't mention the Constitution. Now, this attack on the Americans was so well planned that the government agents cleaned up their crimes by destroying and shredding any documents, covering up all emails, conversations of criminal misconduct. In other words, the Bundys cannot defend themselves. And you saying that the press is on the Bundy side is the most absurd bunch of rot I have ever heard.
Okay, go ahead, Patrick.
I am not here to defend the Department of Justice or the investigation since the incident. My stance is pretty clear. The Bundys violated the law by pointing weapons at federal officers and by illegally grazing cattle without a permit for 2.5 decades. And that is clear and essentially irrefutable. And so beyond that, there have been lots of issues with the trials, with the DOJ, with the way that's all transpired. I don't dispute what we have heard about those issues.
But aren't you surprised that the federal government, despite, and there was a ton of negative press against Clive and Bundy, the family, what happened at the refuge in Oregon, that the government has failed time and time and again, with perhaps the exception of a couple of plea bargains and putting the Hammonds in jail for an extended period of time, that the government has failed in almost all of these cases, and it looks like they're about to hit the dust again. John L. Smith, writing for the Nevada Independent, said, like snake bit cowpunches chasing recalcitrant cattle, the prosecution in the increasingly distracted tile of Bunkerville rancher Cliven Bundy is suddenly in danger of losing the herd. John L. Smith is no right-wing patriot.
Yeah, I mean, I will never be surprised at the incompetence of government. So no, it's not surprising to me. I mean, is it unfortunate from my perspective that these people will not be held to account for their crimes? Absolutely, that's unfortunate. But is it fairly surprising? Not particularly.
Excuse me, you said guilty for their crimes. Aren't they expected to be innocent until proven guilty? And that has certainly not happened yet.
A photograph of Eric Parker pointing a weapon at an officer proves guilt. He absolutely pointed a weapon at an officer. It's indisputable. It was on all the TV stations.
We've exactly. You are completely right. But what he was doing is protecting men, women, and children, some on horseback, almost none with weapons, from the snipers and the 200 heavily armed federal agents. And he was just overseeing from that bridge. He was there in a defensive posture, and that is not guilt, sir. And we will see that pretty soon. But I'd just like to talk about that grazing fee just for a second. The Bundys have been out there since 1887. They've got private property rights since that, 144 years. They have water rights, range rights, ditch rights, rights of way. Everything is right. It's owned by Clive and Bundy. It is not something that the government can take away. That will be proven. It's been proven several times in the U.S. Court of Federal Claims, which came out last time. But, however, the 53, and it's nothing to do with the grazing fee. As we mentioned, he did not sign his permit because it would have put him out of business in a year after 130 years at that point, probably 125, whatever it was. But he did send a check to Clark County, and Brett Whipple, the attorney for Cliven Bundy, a week ago, showed the check to the judge, whether it was in secret, and I'm not sure because she hardly lets the jury see anything. But it was for $8,000. There are many other checks were written to Clark County by Cliven Bundy.
Clark County was not the authorizing agency for grazing there. Clark County had
nothing to do with it. This is a matter of opinion. Hold on a minute. There were 53 ranches in Clark County. There's only one now. They all paid their grazing fee. That is an absolute myth that it's because of grazing fees this came up. what Bundy would owe now for the 20 years, whatever it is, about $100,000. It cost $6 million for Dan Love, a guy who had a kill list and also bragged on record that he was the cause because of really serious, heavy-duty interrogations for three suicides in southern Utah. He was fired from the BLM by Zinke. He's probably got a golden parachute. The other thing is, though, when Ammon Bundy was out there and he actually went up against a dump truck, which is on their range, and he had a four-wheeler and he tried to stop the dump truck, we're wondering why a dump truck and a backhoe were there to gather cattle. And what they were doing is destroying all the water infrastructure that the Bundys have developed for the last many, many, many decades. They destroyed it. We've got photos of cattle,
hang on a second. Let Patrick, respond here.
Those water developments are illegal. We have extensive documentation of them illegally trenching and running pipe across federal land. We really want to remember here, this is BLM land. It is not their land. This is BLM land where BLM has conferred in the past, historically, a privilege of grazing. It is not a God-given right to run your cattle on public land.
That is absolutely incorrect. It is a right, not a privilege. It will be proven. It has been proven many, many times. If you go up and you prove up on water, beneficial use, which has happened to these ranches for more than 100 years, that is a right. It is not a privilege. It is environmental groups like yours that just keep pushing that thing, that it's a privilege. Sir, it is not. They've earned it, and they have a right to use it.
All right, Patrick, you'll get to respond when we come back. We've got to take a break here.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation between C.J. Hadley, the publisher and editor of Range Magazine, and Patrick Donnelly, the Nevada State Director for the Center for Biological Diversity. Do you want to respond to the last part there?
Yeah, the water rights are conferred upon them by the state of Nevada. The state of Nevada manages our water. But a water right is entirely separate from a grazing right. Grazing rights were first established with the Taylor Grazing Act and were formalized with the Federal Lands Policy and Management Act of 1976, which officially gave BLM the statutory authority to confer and deny grazing privileges based on, among other things, ecological conditions. It was seen, demonstrated, that the desert tortoise was in critical decline across Clark County, and as a way to address that, many, many ranchers were bought out and given generous compensation for the most marginal grazing land in the southwestern United States.
And as Patrick said in the last beautiful radio party we had, there are probably only four desert tortoises per acre down there on the Mojave now. Well, there used to be hundreds and thousands when there were 50 more ranchers, because desert tortoise survive on the beautiful, high-protein, mushy little manure the cowleys buy, and they eat that decadent brush, and those tiny little tortoises eat better. There are many, many research. I'll send it to you. Hundreds of thousands of little baby tortoise shells, which were killed by crows or ravens. I can show it to you.
Absolutely.
The thing is, you guys usually, you kind of deny it, and you don't like to read that kind of opposition research. The other thing I'd like to say, just really briefly about the money, $100,000 worth of grazing fees, $6 million for a bunch of bullies to come in and almost have Waco, and Waco was mentioned on some of the tapes at the BLM in Utah. $100 million for the court's costs for this thing in Vegas? Is there something upside down about this?
All right, let's take another break. We'll come back with some different topics right after this.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation between Nevada State Director for the Center for Biological Diversity, Patrick Donnelly, and the publisher and editor of Range Magazine, C.J. Hadley. C.J., you wanted to bring up the spotted owl.
Well, spotted owl was something that our Sierra Club, Western Watersheds, Center for Biological Diversity, a lot of groups, with the intense goodwill, I'm sure, decided that cutting old growth in the Western Forest was destroying the spotted owl. Now, we've got a video that was written by a guy from Rolling Stone that shows a nest of a spotted owl in a Kmart sign in Northern California, so it really wasn't true. Since 1998, since this dreadful spotted owl thing, 300 mill towns have been destroyed. Rural communities have been destroyed. 80,000, 90,000 jobs have been lost. The infrastructure of the timber industry is absolutely gone because who wants to say they're going to cut timber when the forest doesn't let you? A couple of years ago, 10 million acres burned of Forest Service and BLM land. And that not only destroyed, a natural resource, but it also killed wildlife, livestock, horses, people, destroyed many, many buildings, sometimes sheds and barns, but often houses. And it destroyed families. And this was because of spotted owl. Now the scientists at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service themselves say the biggest problem for spotted owl in the West Coast is barred owls, which look almost like spotted owls. They're a little tiny bit bigger. But the only way you can tell the difference between a spotted owl and a barred owl is actually killing the son of a bitch and doing DNA. Now, if they're going to kill an endangered species themselves with a gun, why don't they put the loggers back and not burn 10 million acres of good forest?
We got less than a minute here. Patrick, please respond.
First off, barred owls are definitely discernible by the naked eye. You can just go out there and tell the difference if you know what you're doing. I would say that there are times when changes in societal norms mean that economies must transition. We decided as a society that we value our native endemic rare species, and that eventually that trumped the profit motive. And so society decided that those species are more important than a couple of timber barons making out like bandits.
Okay, so we import timber from Canada and Asia, and everybody has to pay two or three times more for their home. Also, the deputy head of the Forest Service under Mike Dombeck about a decade or so ago said, my reporter said, what do you want to do? And he says, we want to let the forest burn because the environmental community are basically suing them every 5 weeks or every two or three days on an endangered species that often is not even endangered.
Okay, quick response, Patrick.
Fires need to happen. Our forests need to burn.
And that's where we have to leave it.
Not 10 million acres at a time, sweetheart.
To be continued. You both were willing to come back?
Absolutely.
Okay,
so.
Thank you both very much. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Take Nevada Newsmakers with you wherever you go by downloading podcasts of the show. It's available on iTunes and Stitcher. We'll see you on the next broadcast.